This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Russ, the man of many talents, of many jobs. He is also my thermometer because Russ has the sleeves not on his body today.
What is that, Marshall? You want to know where the Whole Foods is? I think it's that one. Congrats, guys, on your officially being a show.
We have a new disclaimer
at the top of the show.
Especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
There we go, see?
I just want to point out, that's not an apology. It is simply a disclaimer because apparently, you know, people didn't understand that I was just joking around.
You might not call it that. I'll take it as one, though.
Y'all got me out here sounding like the villain out here.
You are.
Am I the villain in your story?
Yes. You're not the hero.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's a Grody Day.
It's Grody time, yeah!
More Mark Grody.
Mark Grotek. Mark Grotek.
Ah, Grody.
We'll go next to Mark Grody.
Are you from The Score?
We've gone delirious. That is actually what they say in the song. It is a Grody Wednesday. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score, your midday show. Love having Mark Grody in as well. And you, let's listen to our producing crew get it done. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer helping out as well. You can also watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/670 The Score. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Matt Anaya, and Jenna Duddleston. And of course, you can text us 312-644-6767 on the text line. Leave messages for us on the Meatball Machine on the Odyssey app. Leave a voice message on the 670 The Score portion of it. Or you can just, you know, vent about your day, which is apparently happening on there. And I actually think that that's a good idea. You should be able to just, like, vent to the Meatball Machine if you need to, right?
I think that's the thing that everyone should do on a daily basis, if necessary, at least once a week.
What I think is that badass song that Robbie was playing should continue to be played throughout this segment because that gets me excited.
The one with your name in it?
No, just that song. Dan, 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 dan. Come on, it's badassery. I love it.
And it also... It does remind me of, number one, our conversation about Anthony Rizzo's walk-up song.
Yes.
But also, there is a certain feeling to watching the Cubs roll into Pittsburgh after a brief tornado warning.
Jesus.
And then providing not only a massive amount of offense in their shutout win last night, which was pretty impressive, 9-0, but also not even striking out as a team. Nobody struck out yesterday for the Cubs. That's the most wild part to me in all of this. But they did exactly what they were supposed to do against those guys.
I think the biggest thing for me was watching the Cubs, after what we have deemed Hell Week, finally expire.
Hell Week was 2 weeks.
Two weeks and 2 days.
Yeah.
2 weeks and 2 days later, they play the Pirates. The Pirates came into the game 11-18, last place in NL Central, also Rans, not a good offense at all. And the Cubs did exactly what they were supposed to do against that team with a 9-0 win, even though their starting pitcher, Shota Imanaga, left early with what we're hoping are just cramps, nothing else. Mm-hmm. You saw an offensive display that was more reminiscent of what you had seen prior to the Phillies series. Remember, they scored 9 runs last night. They had scored 9 runs total in that series at Wrigley against the Phillies over 3 games.
3 2-run homers. I'll take each and every one of those. Your cleanup hitter, Carson Kelly, gets it going with that 2-run blast. Everybody's guy, I was going to say my guy or your guy, everybody loves PCA with another sick home run with a man on base.
It was sick.
It was absolutely sick. And I'm going to tell you, like, we know what the Cubs' offense has been this year. One of the great parts about good offenses, one of my favorite things is the add-on runs. People, they score those runs early. That's great. It gets you going. But what made you feel really safe was the three runs in the seventh inning to eventually make it 7-0. That's the Kyle Tucker simple single to knock in a run. And then Dansby Swanson later on hits a home run in the eighth inning. So it all, like those add-ons, man, that's what run differential teams do. The last time I remember the Cubs having that sort of success, like the late runs where now you can't leave and this is you're going to go down, was the year 2016 when all we talked about was run differential and the Cubs blasting teams. I am not saying that this is the 2016 Cubs by any means because they don't have the starting staff nor the bullpen, but the offense is absolutely real. As a matter of fact, I received a text message yesterday from a former baseball player.
Interesting.
And he says the following. He just very simple text. I think the Cubs might be for real. Hope you're doing great. Booney. Brett Boone, ladies and gentlemen.
Brett Boone sent you that text message? What's happening at the end of that?
You know, and that's appropriate.
What's at the end of that reaction there? Brett.
Was that me?
Yeah. I think it was Molly adding the exclamation.
I think that
point.
Was Molly
gargling the salt water, if you will.
Yeah,
when Molly's in a comedic yes and improv mood, things are good. That's when you can have a little bit of mischief.
Speaking of the mall. The
yes,
Molly.
The it's,
I'm just looking at the, you know, we get in here and we see the leftover text messages and whatnot.
Not the leftovers.
The leftovers. That's right. The leftovers. Molly calling you out, Grody, like the old teacher who knew you didn't read the assignment. LOL. I don't
what
know
was
what
that about?
I don't
What's
know.
That in reference
That's
to?
What I'm trying to figure out. Did I miss something during transition?
I don't know.
You must have. Mark, you know the deadline. Where's your homework?
Yeah. Well, no, but it sounds like it sounds like I'm the responsible one, that I'm the teacher, right? Calling you out, Grody, like the old teacher who knew didn't do the assignment, right?
You know, maybe it's because we've blocked a lot of people on the text line.
Yeah.
But I feel like the text line has been better recently.
Okay.
Or maybe
that mean
all the people who hate the show just decided not to listen.
Should we free some people from text jail?
Nope.
Should we let them out?
No.
No, Lila is not in favor of that. I could tell you that off the top.
Okay.
Well, she is in favor
once
of.
Once you've earned a block, you stay blocked.
Oh, really?
That's in my personal life and in the text line.
She's what we like to call consistent, Mr. Grody.
Yes.
And I don't just block anybody. You have to earn that.
Okay. What does it take?
Is it a three strikes and you're out, or is it a one strike and you're out?
No, it's not a one strike.
Let's establish that then, Layla.
No,
what gets you blocked? Because I think people want to know.
Every segment is for everyone.
What gets you blocked?
So you know
that's
like,
fair.
That's something that you have to come to terms with. Like, not every segment is for everybody. But when you text like the same hateful things for like multiple days,
okay,
or just like don't seem to understand that you can listen to another station, and that is like. They just the constant complaining.
Okay, so you do give a couple strikes before unless it's personal.
People have bad days and stuff.
Yeah,
and also like you should explain to people that not every segment is going to be for them.
Well, yeah. I mean,
these are all valid points.
You got to think of yourself as a consumer listening to. You play along. It doesn't mean that they don't like the radio station or don't like you. They just have an issue in the moment, just like we do when we talk about sports. So it's all good.
Or like you know, here's what doesn't get you blocked. Like if you're like, hey. You guys didn't talk about the Cubs, and I'm like, are you listening on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app? Yes. Oh, good for you. That will come later. Like, those things are easy.
Hey, look, we play the hits just like radio stations. People call in and they make requests. When I was sitting back there in the studio with these guys the other day, Ray got a call. Somebody was requesting to talk about something. Very nice about it. And I'm like, oh, we take requests around here like we are B96. So, we've got Taylor Swift coming up in just a little bit.
Do we know what the
request
was?
Also, a bunch of people are texting asking if they're blocked. You're not.
Yeah, if we can see it, that means you're not blocked.
Yep.
Now, but we're not really acknowledging them. They could be a person who's asking, and we don't see it because they're blocked. So, you know, pick and choose.
Timing is on their side.
Yeah. What was the request, Ray? Do you remember? I don't remember.
815's like, super proud I haven't been blocked yet.
Yeah.
Well, don't give yourself away.
You've just been warned, pal. You're on thin ice.
Look, it's a simple matter of being respectful. Don't be like Tyrese Halliburton's dad.
Well, look.
Just so, like,
we're told, don't make make it personal. Honestly, we have done that. I think we've all done that before.
Oh, yeah. MJ, I took it personally.
Yeah, like sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. As hosts, we do cross the line. Let's not act like we're innocent in this, but I think that's the rule, right? Don't make it. It doesn't. You could come at us. You could tell us the topic sucked. You could tell us you hated our opinion. You're dumb. You're wrong. But if you cross a line and you make it personal or...
No, personal insults like you're dumb or stupid or what? No, those
yeah,
are...
dumb, stupid,
okay.
Fat,
some name calling,
ugly.
Yeah.
Although I am kind of, I have better days, and some days are better than others.
I was gonna say your complexion's a little bit off today.
Yeah, my complexion. Yeah.
847 is like unblock me. Nope, you're not.
Unblock me.
You're not blocked.
They're listening for their area codes at this point, and the voices you hear, Mark Grody,
hey.
On a Wednesday, Layla Rahimi. What? I'm Marshall Harris. This is Rahimi and Harris. Got a nice little ring to it, doesn't it? And we're talking about the Cubs right now.
I keep calling it the midday
and
show.
And the fact that the Cubs have not blocked out playing good baseball just because they stopped playing good teams. They are not having to rise or lower themselves to their opponent, as we saw last night. It was a beatdown, 9-0, straight up. They did not strike out. Shota Imanaga, exhale. And also, the Cubs are in a good spot. They're about to play some bad teams and then play a lot more good teams. But you gotta handle business against a team like the Pirates. And they're 11-19 on the season. If you can't take 2 out of 3 against the Pirates, you don't deserve to be in the conversation, whether Booney texts you or not, that this team
Booney.
Is for real.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, all of that said, I appreciate the establishing reset, which is, I feel like, what that was. But, we've been talking about this Cubs team just not only taking care of business when it came to the quality opponents, but what were they going to do when they finally faced a team that was sub 500?
Yeah, would they let their foot off the proverbial gas?
It was not just that. It was also how people were going to produce based on who needed maybe a get-right game, who needed to up their average. You know, Seiya Suzuki continuing to perform well in the DH spot, for example. He's 3-for-4. You know, he was hitting for extra bases as well. I thought he had a particularly good game, even for what we've seen out of him. I think the Dansby Swanson home run could be something that's very good for him.
Absolutely.
You know, it continues to try to help him not only hit better for average, but just, we talked about that hard contact that Ian Happ has hit into before, where he had bad luck hitting. You know, sometimes you just hit them where they are, and you know that you're making solid contact. You know your approach at the plate is good. The ball's just not falling down for you. And so something like that, I think, might help him as well. You know, they move him down in the lineup, Swanson.
Eighth, yeah. He's in eighth now. And that's exactly what you do with pitchers. Like, think about pitchers. When a pitcher is struggling massively, especially relievers, what do? You bring him in low-leverage situations. You bring him in the fourth inning. You bring him in with a 7-1 lead. That's what they're doing with Dansby Swanson. They're not in a position to bench this player right now because his defense is way too valuable at shortstop. And thank God for him and the Cubs that his defense has not taken a hit throughout this process, but we all know he's better. A couple of, I thought, key moments from the game last night. Shota did not have his best stuff last night, but I thought a really crucial spot was in the fifth inning. He with two outs, he loads the bases.
Not ideal.
Tommy Hotovy comes out, and I like to think of Tommy Hotovy saying in his very nice way, "Hey, man, you got us into this. I'm going to need you to go ahead and get us out of this." And he did go ahead and get them out of it. Then the other moment was show guy, because I know don't we all love Daniel Palencia? We all love Palencia. He comes in that moment where Shota gets hurt. He comes in, walks a guy, two men on, right, with nobody out, and he gets out of that. So Palencia deserves a gold star for what he did, and I know that we all love Daniel Palencia on this show.
What I love about Daniel Palencia is it was an injury replacement. That means you get as much time as you need to warm up.
And he took it.
And he was like, "I'm going to go ahead and take my time." And you know what? He came in, got the job done. There's a reason there's a shutout. It's because not just Daniel Palencia, but three pitchers came in relief and got the job done. Theobar Cosgrove. And when you look at what Craig Counsell decided to do before this game, even that move paid off. Carson Kelly in the cleanup spot, you're thinking, oh, well, okay, he's been hitting well, but the cleanup spot, that seems aggressive. Yes, and so does his play. 3-for-5, 3 runs driven in, including the home run. And this is how I was watching the game. In the ninth inning, when Suzuki gets another hit, my first thought was, huh, he can hit for the cycle if he comes up again this inning. That's so true.
I shouldn't
be thinking that.
Of course you should be thinking. Why wouldn't you think that?
He was responsible for 9 total bases yesterday.
I know, but why is my head not going to, okay, they've got this thing in the bag. You talking about getting greedy as a consumer? Greed is good.
What have I told you? Greed is good in sports. I don't care what anybody says. Greed is good.
What did Gordon Gekko tell you, though?
That's right. Well, he said greed is good. Take what's yours, ladies and gentlemen.
I think that's...
Go for it, Marshall.
That's the vibe, though. It is.
That is the vibe, right?
It is you saying, oh, let's go for a cycle here. You're so relaxed, and you're feeling so good about the performance of the team. That you do start to ask for extra things. That's leveling up. We're not talking about runners and scoring position numbers. They were 4 for 6 yesterday. These are different discussions we're having when it comes to this team. I love the fact that I can talk about Seiya Suzuki with 3 quality hits, quality extra base hits, the home run, the triple, the double. And not just that, but guess what? His OPS, which is always something that has concerned me, it's 1 point lower than Kyle Tucker. Tucker is 965. Seiya Suzuki is 964.
Where's Carson Kelly?
Yeah, what's Carson Kelly's OPS?
Dude, his is wild because of the sample size. It is 1415. That's not going to last.
Well, 1.415 is crazy.
It's not real.
It's crazy this deep into the season. I know he's had less at-bats because he's a catcher, but still. I'll say this. The Seiya Suzuki and even reading these numbers, it's a lot different than I felt when Shota can't go, and you're like, what is going on? That was a very tense moment in my life.
It was, and it brings up our topic of the day, because we had much more tense moments before we knew what the actual situation was facing Shota Imanaga. This segment, by the way, brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. It brings up our topic of the day, and that is, as good as this win felt for everyone... The Cubs are, unfortunately, because of the starting pitching situation with Justin Steele, what we saw yesterday out of Shota, you're talking about a team that is hanging in the balance when it comes to injuries. We're not trying to bring the bad to you, but this is very fragile. So we want to know what you think. You know, is which injury maybe stresses you out the most when it comes to watching this Cubs team, or how much does another injury hurt the team when it comes to what you're seeing right now? The Shota Imanaga moment was one where I thought to myself, they can't afford to lose another starting pitcher like that. Not him. Not after they lost Steele.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there is nothing more. There are actually 3 injuries that give me great relief when I hear that these specific injuries, like the player is hurt. It looks like something horrible has happened in any sport. One of them is... Oh, it's just cramping. If it is just cramping, it's like, okay, all right, drink your Gatorade, eat your potato chips, drink your water.
Pickle juice,
do whatever you have to do. Do you guys realize that in 2016, when I was covering the Cubs doing pre and post, I walked into the Cubs clubhouse by Jason Hamill's locker. There was literally like a massive crate up like higher than his locker of potato chips that had been delivered to the Cubs locker room for Jason Hamill because he had had cramping. The potassium in the potato chips is something that doctors actually recommend. It was a hilarious moment. We all got potato chips. So that's a relief, leg cramping. The other one is, oh, he just got the wind knocked out of him. Oh, thank God. Because you get the wind knocked out of you. There's nothing worse in life, is there? Like, you feel like it's death. You can't breathe. There's nothing worse than not being able to breathe. The other one that you're relieved by, oh, he just got hit in the ding-dong. Okay. He got hit in the ding-ding.
Well, for reproductive purposes, I hope that there's nothing long-term there.
Well, yeah.
But you're just thinking from a playing standpoint.
He just got it. Everybody laughs and tries to figure out how
to
say it.
A growing injury in basketball, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I feel like you're seeing that more and more, and it's not just like a Draymond-originated thing.
I knew Draymond was going to be mentioned once you said basketball.
Come on.
Let's Chicagoize it. It's a Shamar Turner, because Shamar Turner hit a guy in the ding-ding. So, by the way, ding-ding okay? We all okay with ding-ding?
I prefer man region.
Man region.
Robbie's laughing. Ray's not reacting.
He hit him in the ding-ding.
I feel like that's all right.
Everybody's like, can you say that? What's going on? Do we have to block that up? No, I mean, come on. I mean, yes.
FCC approved.
It is FCC approved.
I looked it up.
It's a body part.
Ding-ding is FCC approved.
FCC approved. So, I felt great relief.
Yes. Ding ding, ding dong.
And he hit him
man
in the
region.
Yes.
All approved. I'm asking the FCC.
Yeah, man region is good. Or, you know, baby maker, if you will. That's one.
Testicles? Can we go with that?
Is
that?
Yo.
That's the professional term.
I mean,
it's medical.
I do hope the texter isn't serious who said, who the hell is Jason Hammel? Does he mean Cole Hamels? No. Jason Hammel was a
you
starting
pitcher. You don't know
pitcher.
About Jason Hammel?
I mean, maybe, again, maybe new show, new listeners, new Chicagoans. I don't know. Like,
tell him, Mark.
I was there. A lot of people, I was there and you weren't. Okay, I was there every day for 3 years in the Cubs clubhouse for hours and hours and hours.
He's got the ring to prove it.
You weren't down there, I was.
That's right. That's right, Les. And Les was not allowed in the club.
Shout out to Les because Lee Elia's rant had its anniversary yesterday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Did you guys celebrate?
No, but I often think, like, aside from people like us, who does have the time to just hang out on the bleachers during day games?
Oh, yeah. Look, that was a different, like, I got to say, man, before 1984, parts of Wrigley Field were canvassed off. It wasn't the place to be. It wasn't the party that we, like, those were the legitimate bleacher bums. Those were the credible bleacher bums. Not like today.
These guys have jobs.
No, they're jobs.
We know who they are.
Their parents are paying for them. I mean, it's just, yeah.
The entitlement of it all.
They
the entitlement
of it all. Snakes. How dare they be functioning fans?
Yeah, well, right. Exactly. Go ahead. Have fun.
Well, for the non-functioning ones of us, wink. We have more Cubs talk coming up. We'll talk more about just the concept of what they can't afford to lose. Let's examine the depth when it comes to this Cubs team. Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, Layla Rahimi, Rahimi and Harris, and you on the score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
After the fifth, or a little bit during the fifth, too, I felt like that feeling of like a cramp that's about to come. And so, you know, I talked to the pitching coach. I felt like going into the sixth, but then the sixth inning, my legs completely cramped. So, you know, before, you know, it turns into a cramp in different areas of the body where it all connects, you know, I think it was the right call to call it there.
That was Shota Imanaga's translator. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on a Mark Grody Wednesday this week. Yeah, the handoff ceremony is complete.
Okay. I don't think there was a ceremony, but I'm okay with that. It's done.
She threw a baton at you. It didn't hit you in the head.
Let's figure out the ceremony. Yeah, okay. We'll figure out a ceremony. I feel like that needs to be done. Okay, like, there's got to be some sort of, like, headphones and, like, a...
like a knighting process.
Yeah, or, like, a sash, like that. You know?
Would you give me all your receipts? Like, you got this pocket full of Layla's receipts and stuff like that?
You can check out the notebook.
Okay.
But you kind of have the same thing in your...
Oh, I do. You and I are kindred spirits. Well, I have this board here that I have. It's just a reference board. It's just the final score, the highlights of the game, just so it's easy to reference without having to say as much as I do.
But turn it around too.
So here is Cubs 9-0, Shota Imanaga, and then on the back, well, I got my Bears chart. I just like to keep my Bears chart handy with my notes on the draft and little things that I've learned along the way. So,
no, it's like a spotting board, like what you would use for play-by-play.
It's a spotting board. That's exactly what it is.
Do you update your Bears chart? Are you keeping that one for a while?
Oh, I change it a lot. This will be ripped off and changed soon. And it also just helps me to memorize the names and who they are and what it's all about, so it just flows eventually.
What paper is that, though? Where do you get that?
Yeah, so this is very... I shouldn't give this up because these...
No, give it up. Sharing is caring.
These particular poster boards that I use, there's only one place where I've been able to get them.
Oh, well, never mind. So, don't give it up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's a popular drugstore, and there are two very popular drugstores in this city. One is CVS, and one is Walgreens. So you'll just have to guess which one it is.
I know which one it is because I have some at home.
It's Walgreens. I don't mind.
You really
it
held out on that one, Mark.
But, like, I used to just buy posters and cut them up, like, with scissors and my tape and everything. But now these come in, like, just like this. At Walgreens. So,
guess what?
Yes.
They're also at CVS.
No, they're not. They're different. Those are different. It's a weaker, what do you call it, grade?
Material.
Yeah. What a stock, right? We should reference The Office here. It's like, it's a bad stock. Like the poster curls up a little bit. It doesn't feel right. So only Walgreens.
Yes, you are correct about that.
Yeah.
Paper supremacy.
On that sheet that Mark Grody has,
yes,
was probably the collective moment where we all held our breaths trying to figure out in that bottom of the sixth inning last night in the Cubs' win over Pittsburgh if Shota Imanaga was significantly hurt. Given what happened with Justin Steele, I definitely was glued to the screen waiting slyly breathing, trying to figure out if the Cubs were suffering yet another major injury to a starting pitcher.
It was an oh no moment, just like Justin Steele, which was more of a, oh no, because he actually was going to be out for the season. But we all, I mean, duh, it's obvious he's the second most important pitcher, second most important player on this team right now. Even with all of the offense the Cubs have had and the stars that they've had, like you're not going anywhere if Shota Imanaga goes down, unless you think that Jameis Taillon will continue to perform well, which he has.
I mean, if they continue to crush offensively, but at some point you do need pitchers who can pitch innings and multiples, as in get you 5, 6, 7 innings. And Shota, if you look up and down that rotation right now, is really the guy who has the best chance at doing that every time he takes the bump. Just look at the Cubs. They have a ridiculous record with Imanaga on the bump. And if you take him out of the equation in addition to Justin Steele, Who becomes your frontline starter, or the relative frontline starter? I guess it's Boyd or Taillon. I mean, take your pick.
Didn't all of us think that in that moment when you're watching, and then you're watching Daniel Palencia throw warm-up pitches for what seemed like an hour?
It took a couple calls.
Yeah. That man took his time.
I mean, and I don't blame him for that. Take your time, Daniel Palencia. And he's done great so far. But, you know, there was a time where we were concerned about him as well. Maybe not an injury, but, you know, that bullpen circle of trust. But it got me thinking how fragile seasons are when you can withstand some things. And that's because you decided to up your offense in a way that is going to override a lot of issues. You did the right thing roster-wise to improve your team to be able to withstand it. But they are living on the edge when it comes to especially the pitching staff, perhaps – having something like this happen, even a setback, say you're on the 15-day IL, you know, how much could that hurt this team when it comes to trying to do what they're doing?
Well, I think the biggest thing when you talk about starting pitchers versus position players is your thought process immediately goes to season ending as opposed to they're going to the IL for a couple of weeks or a month. That's two very different things. I don't think when you see a player pull up lame as a runner or in the outfield or doing whatever, you're thinking he's going to be out for the season. Whereas with a pitcher, anything that happens, the first place my mind anyway goes to is, oh, what if he was out for the season? That would just be awful. That's a hole they can't afford. They don't know. How would they fill that spot? Especially since we know right now it's Colin Ray. It's not like they called up somebody else and Colin Ray is still the swing guy. You feel like you're at the end of your rope with Colin Ray, the swing guy, being in the rotation. Now you're saying, who's going to be the next guy up to fill a rotation spot?
According to my board, Colin Ray does have a 0.96 ERA right now. But
yes.
But you're that's maximum effort. You're getting this out of these guys, and you have to believe that eventually you're not going to get that out of. I mean, Boyd has been great, but do we trust that he is going to be that? And I know we'll get more into that later on. May I offer a potential solution? I am going to inject a name that's going to get everybody excited here.
Does it start with a C and end with aid?
Yes, it does. Wait, end with an aid? Hold on a second. Aid?
Start with a C and end with an aid.
Oh, the first. I thought you meant the last name. Yes, it does. It does. Cade Horton. Cade, I don't have this on my board right now, but apparently Cade Horton.
He's now on your draft board?
No. Check this out. Check me out, Haw. He had his best game, apparently, at Iowa last night. I need the numbers. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I got your numbers.
I failed to put it on my board.
MILB.com, baby.
But it's probably going to take a few more good starts. But let me just say, that was incredible to hear. I think it was Alex Cohen who brought it up last night during the broadcast, doing a great job there in Pittsburgh. Brought up, I was, oh, Cade Horton, I hear you. I see you. So he was really good. Going to take a few more of those. But let's not forget how potentially exciting Cade Horton could be, Marshall.
Okay. You wanted the numbers.
Yes,
he
I
got
did.
The win.
Yes.
He went 6 innings.
Okay, I'm writing it on my board here.
He
six
gave
innings.
Up one earned run.
Uh-huh.
That was the only run he gave up.
Earned.
On 3 hits.
3 hits?
He only walked one.
Walked one.
He struck out 5.
Okay.
He threw
five.
77 pitches over those 6 innings.
Slow down. 77 pitches. There we go. Okay.
And 50 of those pitches were strikes.
Okay.
So, yeah. He had 5 ground ball outs, 10 fly ball outs, which, depending on how things are going at Wrigley any given day, that could play very well.
Okay.
Especially if you just throw strikes. Julian Merriweather.
Texter says
Merriweather is still in my circle of trust.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I know where you're going with the text line. I just replied to somebody, Grody, because 847 is like, they're living on the edge. There isn't a team in Major League Baseball where losing your top two starters wouldn't be a major issue.
You're playing a dangerous game.
Except there are teams that talk about using six-man rotations. Except there are teams in baseball like the Dodgers where it's not catastrophic. It's a nuisance. Now, that's an extreme example when you talk about the Dodgers, but there are teams where this isn't as much of a problem. They do have deeper farm systems. They do have more depth when it comes to their bullpen and their starting pitching staffs. The Yankees lost Gerrit Cole, and look at them. They're 18-12 right now.
I just want to point out that Cade Horton, back to that portion of this discussion, because I think it's one, I think he's coming. It's just a matter of time. I think we can all agree on that. He's not given up more than a run all season long in any of his outings. And he's gone 3 1/3 to start, then he stretched out to 4, then he stretched out to 5 innings, then 4 2/3, and now 6. He looks like he's primed, and he's cut down his walks. He had 4 walks, 3 walks, 3 walks, then just 1 walk and 1 walk each of the last time out. Has struck out less than 5 batters no times this season.
A text here from the 815. Bruce Levine said the other day that Horton is not ready. Well, you tell Bruce Levine that last night Cade Horton had a great game. No, I trust Bruce Levine. I want more Bruce Levine on this show. But, yeah, of course, I'm not saying because of that you call him up. I'm just saying we should, like, because Cade Horton went away for a while, and now the interest is revived, and he could be, no matter what happens with Shota Imanaga at this point, because of Justin Steele, no matter what, they still need more support on this pitching staff by the time this season ends. If they are to be a serious playoff team that wins games the playoffs.
I think the other piece of this, though, is because starting pitching injuries have increased so much, especially since the beginning of the pitch clock era, that it is something you have to not only account for, but you have to almost take a worst-case scenario look at things whenever you're considering what the possible outcome is. Like, there's a reason we're talking about this in this vein. It's because we've all read the same stories. We've all seen the same injuries. We've all seen how that has hurt teams. Yeah, they're in a division, the Cubs, where, for example, it might not cost you the division or an attempt at the playoffs. But even, say, the Atlanta Braves and all the talent they had. And,
wow.
And, you know, they have a superstar go down, and that costs them an attempt at a playoff berth.
One of their bites at the apple, if you will, with this group that they paid so handsomely.
Because they're in such a strong division in the East. So, you know, that piece of it, I think, factors in as well. The contrast to this is the standard bearers of the division for the last several years, the Brewers, are facing the White Sox, and then thusly the Cubs in the next series. So you're going to get a taste of that and a pressure check to know where you're at as well, as if the NL West wasn't enough.
I think the White Sox Brewers thing, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was thinking as I was watching the White Sox take a 2-0 lead.
You were watching, huh?
Why are you saying it like that? Why does everyone clown me for watching the White Sox?
No, I'm not clowning you at all. I just think it's difficult when there's a Cubs game on to navigate to the White Sox. Like, I had a difficult time last night.
Yeah,
with that.
I definitely was focusing on the Cubs game.
I'll listen to the Cubs and watch the White Sox and then watch whatever I missed with the Cubs.
You
got that?
Did you hear hilarious Pat Hughes last night talking about Green Acres and
I heard all of it.
Yes.
that's another indication that you know life is good. When Pat and Ron get to just wax poetic.
They were talking about all kinds of things last night. And I'm like, they do this every night. And they sound like they're having so much fun. It's a lot more fun talking about games that aren't close. Ron Coomer put it best. He was like, 4-0 lead. He's in a great spot. Let him go. Like, once a pitcher has a 4-0 lead, he can do whatever just throw strikes.
Just throw strikes. That's right. Break.
Well, we have more. Break.
Sorry. That was...
I know Ray says in our ear break.
Anything that Ray says in my
ear. Mindlessly. This next segment is not mindless. Coach Eli Drinkwitz from the University of Missouri. He is the head football coach there. He coached Luther Burden III. So we're going to talk to him about the Bears' new receiver. That is next coming up here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
Mizzou looking for 6. A little lower the shoulder for Luther Burden. He'll choreograph the dances. Touchdown ball! Luther Burden III takes a shot to the end zone. Burden wide open.
Backing up, looking, lobbing. First down.
Love the highlight reel. You know who that is. That is the Bears pick at number 39, Luther Burden III out of East St. Louis High School. And we now go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And that is where we bring in the head coach of the Missouri Tigers football team, Coach Eli Drinkwitz. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to be on in the Windy City.
We appreciate having you as well, and I know that it's a great thing that we always get to be able to talk to a lot of the college head coaches whenever the Bears have a big draft class. They end up getting 8 people to add to their team, and one of them is considered largely the steal of the draft in Luther Burden. When, unfortunately, he finds out he's not going on the first day of the NFL draft, to then go the second day, you know, what do you think was going through his mind, and what did you think of his reaction to just be able to get that call where he knows he's going to play in Ben Johnson's offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime there's an expectation and it doesn't come the way everybody expects it, there's a little bit of disappointment. But, you know, we at the end of the day, on Friday, it was all about, we knew at some point he was going to get drafted, and so we just wanted to be in the moment, stay present, knowing that wherever he got picked was going to be a blessing. He was going to get to realize a childhood dream. And so focus on the positives and kind of reframe the whole thought process of not being a negative, but really being a positive. And then when you get the call from Coach Johnson and he gets to go to an unbelievable organization like the Chicago Bears to match with a coach who's got a great offensive framework and an ability to use playmakers and not force round pegs in a square hole, to play with an elite quarterback with a remade offensive line with great skill players around me. I think there was just a whole level of excitement. Like, you know what? This was orchestrated in the perfect way, and he's going to be the right fit for the organization.
When you look at Luther and his capabilities and see how they have translated from where I know he was just a ridiculous high school star and then made the most of that in college to now going to the NFL, how do you see those translating best to the NFL game as far as what he's doing right now or what he did in college?
Yeah, obviously I think it's, you know, the biggest adjustment is going to be figuring out the playbook, right, and learning the playbook. But while he's doing that, you know, figuring out, okay, with the ball in his hand, he's really, really difficult to tackle. And so I think the excitement for the Chicago Bears is with the amount of creativity that Coach Johnson has is how do we get Luther the ball in space and do what he does best? You know, a lot of people don't remember or don't know that he was an elite basketball player, so he's got really good short area quickness along with vertical speed. I mean, guy ran a 4.41, but he also can really move side to side and laterally. Very difficult for people to tackle or even want to tackle at 213 pounds. So I think it's going to be an exciting opportunity for him in that offense.
That's interesting because when you're saying that, that reminds me of one of the Bears wide receivers now. That's DJ Moore, who is great in those quick quick area speed, all of that, and obviously he can go downfield as well. But one of the things too, I got to tell you, Coach, when he came in to talk to us and even on the Zoom, and you said that it was going to be a blessing no matter where he was drafted, I'm not sure if he was feeling that for the first couple days because I think he was shocked that he ended up going to the Bears. I think he was shocked that he ended up going in the second round, or he was just in a really bad mood because he didn't seem too happy when we were talking to him. Is that the competitive spirit in him?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's a lot going on through a young man's mind. I don't think he was mad or frustrated. I think he was just taking it all in. I mean, I thought the tears on his face when he got the call from the Bears kind of said it all. Just thankful for the opportunity, thankful for the moment. Obviously, he's a fierce competitor, right? And competitors find anything they can to fuel that fire. And so, you know, if fueling that fire is saying he didn't get picked in the first round, then that's the best news that the Chicago Bears could ever ask for because he's going to be extremely motivated and motivated to prove the rest of those other 31 teams that they were wrong.
He's one of those guys, like if you even look at a picture of him, you just look at his eyes. He's got those like angry, competitive, fiery eyes about him. And that's one of the things that we hear about him in games, that he's a different person like many football players are. Have you seen that? And how does it manifest itself?
Yeah, I mean, that's why they would call him Touchdown Luther. When the ball in his hands, he just refuses to be tackled. I think if you watch most of his highlight plays, whether it was against Boston College, whether it's against Tennessee, Arkansas, Florida, 4th and 17, Ohio State, like when the ball in his hands, he's got a stubborn refusal to be tackled. And you know, you got to go to a different place. It's not always happy-go-lucky and smiling when people are trying to knock you down full speed.
Oh, Coach, I think one of the ways that we were able to just understand Ben Johnson's offense a little bit better, because it's new to us, at least in Chicago, is by this pick and getting Luther. You know, his production is out of the slot. So it would make a lot of sense that we see that happen at the NFL level as well. What about him made him so productive in your offense with Missouri in that slot receiving role?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about matchups, right? If you're playing in the slot in an 11 personnel set and people are playing in a nickel defense, then they're putting their third best corner on one of your best wide receivers. And so you're going to get one-on-one matchups with a lot of space, especially in NFL hash marks with they're only 6 yards apart. The spacing between the hash mark and the sidelines more like 21 yards instead of the really the 14 yards in college football. And so it's a lot of space for somebody to cover. Obviously, the rules in the NFL prevent contact after 5 yards. So, again, this is where Luther Burden's basketball skills come into to play here, where he has, again, horizontal quickness, short area quickness, can get vertical with a vertical burst, and then break either right or left, depending on what the route's called. So, obviously, Coach Johnson is going to be able to utilize that in whatever, you know, tactical ways he wants to.
Coach, we look at this time where everyone has an opinion. Everyone does the evaluation of the tape. I don't know if you've seen or heard about Steve Smith and James Palmer doing a deep dive on the film on your player. And it was interesting because Steve Smith talked about all the talent that he has, but in the tape that he wasn't necessarily full bore all the time. And I'm just curious as if there was an explanation on your end of why you think that was and what they're seeing on that tape. And if that had anything to do with maybe the quarterback play not being as good his last season as it was the year prior.
Who did that?
Steve Smith, former wide receiver, NFL wide receiver.
He's got his own issues to worry about. I'm not worried about somebody else's opinion about Luther Burden's tape. The Chicago Bears liked the tape enough and believed in it. He's an all-conference player, all-American player. Everybody's got haters and critics. So, I mean, I don't really care.
Okay.
We're talking to Coach Eli Drinkwitz here on the Score, the Missouri head football coach. And I did want to ask you, too, you know, I think it's a cool thing that the Bears have a receiver from East St. Louis High School who's now on their team as well. Yeah, that's a powerhouse downstate. What stood out to you maybe in taking a look at his high school film, too, that made him somebody that you had your eyes on as well?
Yeah, he's a legend in the city of St. Louis. They call him Touchdown Luther, whether that's from the J-Full League, where he played his Little League football all the way up to high school at Cardinal Ritter and then his senior year at East St. Louis. Elite competitor, ball in his hand. I remember him playing against IMG on tape, you know, an all-star high school football team. He's the punter. He takes a punt and just decides to pull it down and goes and scores. Wasn't even a designed fake punt, you know, but that's just who he is, elite player, elite competitor, and really excited for his next opportunity.
Coach Drinkwitz, we appreciate the time. He is the head coach of the Missouri Tigers football team joining the Midday Show. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody on the Score. Thank you.
Thanks, Eli.
Thank you, MIZ.
somebody has to say ZRU, but as somebody who went to a non-journalism school, it can't be me.
Also, someone who went to another SEC school, definitely not going to be me.
All right. Somebody out there, maybe it's our buddy Reese Johnson. Reese will probably say ZRU. He was a former production assistant at NBC Sports Chicago and associate producer. Just so like, I'm voting Reese.
It's not going to be me. Not this Starkville kid. No. Nope. Spent too much time in Stark Vegas.
Shout out to Reese the P1. We have more coming up here on the show. Rahimi and Harris, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joins us to talk about the league. And there's some breaking news that happened earlier today involving the NFL draft and the Atlanta Falcons. So we'll ask him about that as well on the Score.